We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. I'm looking forward to Eagles training camp and the coming Eagles season. And wow, do we need them. And we need a good year. That was a heck of a question we had last hour. If you missed it, there was a caller that called in and said, debacle, disgrace, terrible. And he put the four Philly teams up there. You know, we forget about the, you know, Flyers. It's been a while, but, I mean, they had a goaltender who completely fell apart. You know, we have a basketball team where the point guard is afraid to shoot the ball at the end, and they bowed out of the playoffs with his 34% free throw. We had a football team that went 4-12 last time we saw them. By the way, tanked a game, literally, the last time we saw them. And then we have a baseball team that, right for our eyes right now, is just a disaster. So that was
awfully messy.
That might have to be tomorrow's Twitter poll question today. That's not an easy one to answer. What's the biggest, you know, whatever, disgrace? All right, let's give you a chance right now to win $1,000, and then we'll get to the ditty. Your chance to win $1,000 right now by texting the word FACE to 72881, which I guess is the same name as the character from the A-Team. Text FACE to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide texter is going to win $1,000. You've got another chance to win $1,000 at this very time tomorrow on our show, 1 o'clock. And every weekday on WIP, 8 a.m., noon, 1 p.m., 3 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's all powered by BetQL. Win more and cash in more with the help of BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to learn more. That's BetQL, BETQL. Now, if James Seltzer was really on top of his game today, which obviously he's not, he would have played John Ritchie's I Will Crush Your Face. But, you know, he wasn't thinking in those terms. He just laid back.
He's actually crush your face.
He's actually eating some food back there.
Gum. I just put a piece of gum in my mouth.
That's just
dude.
This guy.
It's gum.
I mean, you try to do a radio
Trident.
Show.
I got Trident in my
you
mouth.
You try to do a radio show and have a producer who's engaged in the activities of the show.
I just, you go to the A-Team as your reference and it just totally threw me off.
Well, like,
I'm doing sitting back here thinking, who thinks A-Team.
Richie, name the four characters from the A-Team. They were.
B.A. Baracus, Hannibal, Face.
One more.
I don't know.
Murdoch.
Oh, Murdoch.
Murdoch.
How did I forget Murdoch?
All right.
Ah.
For more, probably not on the A-Team, but on all sorts of stuff going on in Philadelphia sports, we turn to the man we usually talk to every Wednesday at 12:45, kind enough to move his time this week to Thursday at 1 by phone because, of course, this is not the usual day, but he's with us. The Hall of Famer, the Diddy, Mr. Ray Dittinger. Ray Diddy, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Joe. I was listening to that note at the break about 33 days until the start of training camp. Bring it on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ray, I'm so with you. You know, Ray, I made a point last segment, and John and James did not agree with me, but it gave me some sort of increased hope about the coming season when I read a tweet I had in my phone from last fall. John Clark had referenced before a game last fall the Eagles were going to be without DeSean Jackson, Alshon, Rager, Miles Sanders, Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, Lane Johnson, Jason Peters, Andre Dillard, Brandon Brooks, Isaac Seumalo, Matt Pryor, and Jack Driscoll all in the same game. And I read that recently. I thought, well, that actually gives me hope for 2021 because that's not likely to happen again. Does that give you hope?
A little bit. A little bit. I don't know how much of it is true hope and how much of it is I'm trying to manufacture.
Yeah.
I'm trying to manufacture some hope.
There's
right
a lot
now.
Of that going around, right?
Yeah, kind of given where we are right now, you're trying to build a case that you know what, this team they might be okay. You know, if everybody stays healthy and blah blah blah. But yeah, I mean that's kind of where we are. I mean the Sixers season was it ended in crushing fashion. I mean, I don't know that I didn't think they were going to go to the finals. I really didn't. I didn't think they were going to get out of the East. But I certainly didn't think they were going to lose three games at home to the Atlanta Hawks.
Yep.
I mean, to have it go down the way it went down, to me, makes the whole year a total failure.
Agreed.
Yep.
Totally agree. Ray, let's stick Eagles, and then we'll broaden it out some of the other squads. Zach Ertz, are you starting to think that he might actually be here?
No, I'm not. I'm really not. I think that I think mentally he's moved on.
Me too.
It certainly seems as if the team has moved on. It just seems like it wouldn't be to anybody's benefit for him to come back here. If I were the Eagles, what I would do is, now it's easy for me to say, I mean, I'm on the outside here, but if it's easy for me to say that, I would just say to him, look, you know, we're going to give you your release. And just God bless you. You know, you were a great Eagle. You played great here. You helped us win a Super Bowl. In a couple of years, you're going to be come back here. We're going to be putting your name or face up on the wall for the Hall of Fame, all of that stuff. You know, but for now, we're going to give you your release, and you just go make the best deal you can.
Ray, you say that's what you would do, but do you think that's what Howie will do? See, I think he's going to hold on to Zach because he's hoping there's an injury somewhere that he can still get something out of Zach Ertz. And I think that greed is going to be his downfall. That greed is part of the root of why this relationship has been so completely devastated.
Oh, positive, 100%. 100%, John. I think you're exactly right on. I think, you know, clearly that's what's going on here is that, is that the Eagles and Howie, not alone, but I mean, he represents most of the decision making in the personnel area, are looking at it and they're just, you know, no, we're not going to give him up for nothing. That's, you know, somebody could get hurt. Somebody could all decide they need a tight end and, you know, they'll give us a draft pick for him. And, you know, but I mean, at this point, after everything that Ertz has done for this team, and, you know, the injuries he played through, the way that he played in 2017, the way he played against the Patriots, I mean, all of that stuff, you know, I would hate to see him, you know, I'd hate to see him, as I said, traded to the Cincinnati Bengals for a sixth-round draft choice, just because that's what you can get.
Yeah.
You know, give him a chance at this point in his career to make the best decision for him and his family.
Sure.
you've gotten all you can get out of him and then some. So at this point, just let him go. He clearly wants to play, and he probably still can play, but let him call the shot. You know, let him decide where he wants to go. And, I mean, do you really need a third-day draft pick bad? I don't think so.
Every second that ticks makes it worse. And I just can't believe that the Eagles haven't come to realize this. Like, you are compounding the problem. And every second you wait is 1 second less that Zach has to, I don't know, learn the new offense, learn his new teammates, the coaches, his new city.
Right.
Like this, you are doing such a disservice to this guy.
Well, but he can still help the 2021 Eagles.
No, he cannot.
Yes, he can. Sure he can.
Okay.
I mean, we just disagree there. All right, Ray, let's do some sort of finish the sentence. Let's start with the quarterback, and I'm going to get to the defensive side of the ball. Ray, about a month before training camp, just finish this. Jalen Hurts is ... what? What is he, Ray, in your mind?
Unproven. Unproven. I mean, that's kind of a nebulous answer.
Sure,
but
I get it.
That's the best I can do for you.
Yep.
And when I say that, I'm not saying it in a negative way. You know, I'm not saying unproven and it's never going to be proven. It, to me, it's unproven of what he can be. You know, we've seen him play well, and we've seen him play not well. And the only way we're going to find out what he really is to give him an extended look, and hopefully with healthy players around him. But right now, you know, I mean, I know there's been a lot of chatter about the fact that the Chris Sims list didn't even have him one of the top 40 quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know, and they've got some of the guys that were drafted this year haven't even taken a snap in the NFL, much less won a game in the NFL ahead of him. I think that's kind of silly. But, you know, it really doesn't amount to a hill of beans right now. I mean,
right.
Once he goes to training camp and once he gets on the field, you know, he can write his own story. I mean, he'll have that opportunity.
Sure. Ray, I'm just curious on this front to follow up. What stood out to you more with those 4.5 games Hurts played? The good or the bad?
Uh, I don't mean to sound negative, but you know, my concern is the same concern I had him coming out of college. It's just his accuracy. It's just his accuracy. You can't be a winning quarterback in the NFL if you're not an accurate thrower. You just can't. It's impossible. You know, you can talk about all the intangibles, and you can talk about the mobility, and you can talk about him being, you know, a tough athlete. And I think he is all of that. But you know, if you get a guy, you know, running a shallow cross on third down, and you can't lay the ball between his numbers, then all the other stuff doesn't matter.
Yep.
You know, you got to be, and the standard is, you know, the standard now is, I mean, 55% don't cut it. 60% doesn't cut it anymore. You got to be north of 65% to be a really top level NFL quarterback. And you know, this kid's got a long way to go to reach that. You know,
yep.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I think in terms of the want to, in terms of the intelligence, in terms of his competitiveness, the ability to lift the team, I think we've seen all that. And there have been times when he's shown me some real awareness on the field that I thought was really good. I mean, I remember the one touchdown pass. I don't want to make too much out of one play, but I mean, the one touchdown pass he threw in Arizona, I mean, he's got a blitzer right in his face. And he sees him coming. And what I'm expecting for a young quarterback with his legs is in that situation, he's going to pull the ball down. He's going to try and run it. And he didn't. You know, I mean, he knew he had a receiver breaking open, and he stood in there, delivered the football, and took the hit, and the Eagles get a touchdown out of it. And I saw that, and I said, wow. You know, that is an NFL play. That is a big-time play right there. Now, it's one play. It's not a career. But, I mean, he shows you that there are times that he shows you that kind of ability. So, you know, I think he's got a chance, but there are just some issues, mostly in terms of just his accuracy as a thrower, that he has to work out.
Ray, I got a question for you about the tight end spot. It sounds to me like you, like I do, believe that Zach Ertz will not be in Philadelphia. But I look at this depth chart. After Dallas Goedert, there are six tight ends that I have no idea who's the backup tight end behind Dallas Goedert. Out of this list, tell me who's the tight end two. Jason Kroom, Richard Rodgers, Hakeem Butler, Tyree Jackson, Jack Stoll, Caleb Wilson.
I would say, well, Rodgers to me obviously has a leg up because he's experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And when he had a chance to play last year, actually played halfway decent. You know, he's played before. He's played in a couple different systems, and he's nobody's idea of a superstar. But I mean, he can play.
Yeah.
And of the other guys who, you know, that's just kind of like close your eyes and pull them out of a hat. I would probably lean towards Stoll, only because I thought that the contract he signed, the amount of money they're giving him, the amount of guaranteed money they're giving him up front, suggests to me that they have plans for him.
Okay.
You know, sometimes you can just gauge what a team thinks about a guy in this situation based on the kind of contract he signs.
Sure.
And his contract to me was, when I saw that, I thought, oh, okay. I mean, he's not just a space holder. I mean, they're bringing him in here with the idea that I think they feel like they can work with him.
Okay.
So if I were to handicap it right now, it's obviously Goddard number one. I'd say Rodgers number two, and I'd say Stoll number three.
Love hearing Ray talking some football, Eagles football. This is great. Let's keep it rolling. Ray, the Eagles defense. Same concept as the Hurts question. Finish the sentence. Eagles defense 2021 is ... what?
It is incomplete. I just don't know who the other corner is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, right now, I look at the way they lay out, and you know, I'm not sure where McLeod is in terms physically. Will he be ready to play? When is he going to be ready to play? How good can he be coming off that injury late in the season? I'm worried about him. And they still, to me, haven't really addressed that, the corner opposite Slay, you know, and I really expected that they would probably do that in the draft. I don't know that they did to any great degree, certainly no great assurance. And so you got a real question at the veteran safety spot, and you got basically a vacant sign on the other corner opposite Slay. And you know, Slay to me is a little bit of a question mark after last year.
I agree.
You know, I mean, he played okay. But when you consider what you gave up to get him and what you paid him when he got here, you know, I mean, his season was a bit of a disappointment, too. I mean, a lot of things went wrong with the team, so I don't want to overstate that. But to be honest with you, based on the guy that I had seen in Detroit, I was a little underwhelmed by what he did last year.
Are our older defenders beginning to – are we beginning to see the effects of age on Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham?
No, for sure. For sure. Yeah, I mean, it's been – not to the point where they can't play anymore, not to the point where they can't help you, and not to the point where you don't want to even count on them. But you don't want to count on them too much. I mean, it would be a mistake for the Eagles to think that, you know, Brandon Graham is at this point in his life going to become a double-digit sack guy. It hasn't happened yet, and it ain't going to happen now.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Fletcher is, you know, he's really had a terrific career. And certainly going to be an Eagles Hall of Famer. And, I mean, and they probably don't win the Super Bowl without the way he played in the postseason of 2017. I mean, he was that good. He was the best player on the field in the Atlanta game. I mean, he was that night when they really needed him, but the offense hadn't really kicked it in. They were struggling to get anything going. Man, he was good that game. He was really good in that Atlanta game. But, I mean, he's played a lot of football. He's played a lot of snaps. You know, the wear and tear is showing. You know, he can still give you some plays now and again, but, you know, people still refer to him sometimes as a dominant player, and he was at one time, but he isn't now.
So what sort of season do you expect from Ryan Kerrigan, who last year was in a rotational role with Washington? I think he'll be in a similar role here, but what kind of season are we looking at? Is that a 7-sack year? Is he a double-digit guy? Has his play fallen off with his age to where we shouldn't expect much?
No, I think he can be better than that. I really do. And I went back and looked at his play last year, and when he played, he played fewer snaps because they had younger edge players, Young and Sweat, that they wanted to get on the field. So Kerrigan played fewer snaps, but he was still Ryan Kerrigan, to be honest with you. And I thought that's one of the best moves of this offseason was getting him. And I could see him, and I've heard some people make the comparison to, you know, can he be Chris Long 2.0? Mm-hmm. I think it's actually a pretty good comparison. I think he can come in and play that kind of role. Maybe not be the starter, but be a guy that in certain packages and in certain sub schemes that he could play some meaningful minutes and still be an effective pass rusher. I think that he's, you know, of this off season, of all the moves they've made, Next to the drafting of Devontae Smith, which I still think is the biggest single improvement this team makes, I think the kid's going to be a star. I think like a star. You know, I think he's going to be that kind of impact player. So he's the big addition, but Ryan Kerrigan's addition should not be minimized. I think he's going to play a lot, and I think he's going to play well.
So the guy who's going to be starting in front of him most likely, Derek Barnett. Why, in your mind, has he not taken that next step we'd hoped to see?
Not the player I thought he was going to be. And, you know, John, you know that I was a big Barnett guy.
Yeah.
You know, when he came out in the draft, I mean, he was a guy I actually kind of drew a circle around him before the draft and said if I was the Eagles and he was on the board, he'd be my guy.
Yeah.
I thought that by now he would be a double-digit guy, and I'm now to the point where I don't think that's going to happen. He is he's not – his size is more of a problem than I thought it was going to be. You know, I thought that I knew he was a little bit undersized. When you consider his size going up against the size of offensive tackles in the NFL now, I thought that he would have enough quickness and develop enough strength that he would be able to deal with the size he's dealing with in terms of the offensive tackles in the league, and it just isn't happening.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have quite the get off that I thought that he was going to have. And to be honest, he's disappointed me in not developing more versatility in his game.
Sure.
You know, I think when you get a defensive end like him that isn't Dwight Freeney quick off the edge and isn't overpoweringly strong like a Chase Young, and you're kind of in that middle area, then once you come to the NFL and you start running up against these tackles, then it's important that you start developing better hand techniques and better moves and, you know, a willingness to spin and go inside and not just rely on the same couple of tricks that you used in college successfully. And to me, he looks like he's just kind of the same guy. It looks to me like he's never added the things to his pass rush game in terms of his moves and stuff like that that would allow him to take that next step. I mean, to me, he looks like now the same guy that he was when he came in, and that's a little disappointing.
Yeah, that's bizarre to me. It's like he's capped out. So who has a more productive year, Josh Sweat or Derek Barnett?
At this point, I would say Sweat. I hope I'm wrong, because Barnett is still of an age where, I mean, he can be a really good player, but he's going to have to, you know, he's going to have to play a lot better. And he, you know, he makes dumb mistakes. He gets dumb penalties. He's a real head scratcher. I just thought he'd be a lot better. Now Sweat was slow catching on. You know, initially, I thought coming out of college, coming out of Florida State, I thought, oh, this kid has a chance to be really good. And then it kind of didn't show anything for a couple of years. But he has kind of done what Barnett has been unable to do, which is improve as he's going along. And I think you began to see last year that, I mean, he has the chance to be a guy that's going to have to play more snaps. He's going to have to put him on the field because he's just, you know, he's a guy whose play demands that.
Ray, this is awesome. I got to tell you. And let me make this a public service announcement to the Philadelphia Phillies. Start winning, or we will talk a lot more about the Eagles really soon. I mean, that's it. Ray, God bless you. Oh, Ray, tell us your story this week. Who do you got?
Tell us your story this week is we thought that in light of what happened with the 76ers, that we should try to keep the theme on basketball. So we shuffled a few cards around. And we decided to talk to Jimmy Lynam.
Oh, very nice.
So we're going to take Jimmy Lynam's story all the way back before the beard, before this playoff series. And we're going to go back and talk about his career, how it started at West Catholic, and then went to St. Joseph's and playing for Jack Ramsey. And being part of, I don't know how many people know the story, but Jimmy talks about it, being part of a St. Joe's team that went to the Final Four and then were stripped of their place because they were involved in a point-shaving scandal.
Wow, so that's him as a player back then?
Yeah, he was the point guard on a team where three of his teammates were shaving points.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, if you look at 1961 Final Four NCAA, you'll see third place vacated. That was St. Joe's.
Wow.
And Jimmy was part of that team and had no idea. He had no idea until the feds came down and began handing out indictments.
That's wild. And then, of course, the coach when they beat DePaul in the early
80s. He was the head coach when they pulled off the mammoth upset of number one ranked DePaul.
And tremendous. D. Lynam jumping around.
And exactly. Yeah. The moment that everybody remembers is John Smith laying in the winning basket at the buzzer and D. Lynam jumping out of the stands into her father's arms.
Yeah, very
cool. 14-year-old D. Lynam, yeah. We talk about all of that.
That's awesome. Ray, stay well, man. We look forward to a lot of weeks up ahead of Eagles football, and we'll cover the Sixers and Phils with you more another time. But
I look forward to that too, Joe.
Good stuff. Ray, thanks so much, man.
Thanks,
take
Ray.
Care, guys.
All right,
see
there
you.
He is, bye-bye. The Diddy. How good was that? Just straight football, man.
Some Eagles talk.
Just straight football. Phils, you better start winning. Because if not, back burner quick. I hate to say it, but I'm just being real. Joe to camera, John Ritchie. Time's yours at 1:45. Phone calls is ahead as well on 94 WIP.
My sportsbook app of choice, the hometown favorite, the Parks Casino sportsbook app, has it all. Live in-game betting, parlays, props, teasers, and more. Bet on individual player performances in pro hoops, hockey, and baseball, like points, rebounds, goals, and strikeouts. And Parks is based right here in the Delaware Valley, so you get home field advantage. And no one does live in-game play-by-play betting better than the Parks Sportsbook app. Sign up now, bet live on baseball, golf, pro hoops, hockey, and more, and they have an incredible offer to get you in on the action. As a new customer, you can make your first bet risk-free up to $500. Again, new customers only. Sign up now, get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA. Use the promo code JRWIP. Then check out the basketball playoffs tonight. Phoenix 1-point road favorite in L.A., and I'm confident they will lose. There's no way L.A. goes down 3 games in a row in this series. That's parxcasino.com/PA, promo code JRWIP. Your risk-free bet is refunded in site credit. See the website for terms and conditions, and get home field advantage with Parx Casino Sportsbook.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.